collection of short stories which span more than 100 years but are connected by a building make up Anthony Lapwood's new book, Home Theatre. The stories are set in the Repertory Apartments. In their time, they've housed an exciting range of people, as well as being home to theatre performances through to workshops, even time travel. It's Anthony's debut collection, although the Te Whanganui a Tara-based writer's stories have been widely published and anthologised. He starts by reading from one of his short stories, Blue Horse Overdrive.
A certain energy surged through the people and swept through the long grass of the paddock towards the ragged pine trees at the far boundary. Betty turned to me and twirled his finger, meaning, let's capitalise on this immediately, no more crowd banter. I turned to Rawiri behind the drums and he hit four on the snare and then I laid into the bass for damage control. This was touching the dream we'd had for 6 years. There were faces in the crowd that none of us recognised, come all the way from who knew where. And they hadn't simply come for an open space to drop a tab or guzzle piss either. They'd paid a fiver each to get in, and Batty's old man was keeping crowd control with his mates, which was fair enough, it being his paddock, his property. I saw Batty's old man punch one of his mates in the arm and point up at the makeshift stage like, that's my kid, would you listen to those lungs, that crazy guitar? Our music wasn't his shot of liquor, too much overdrive, like an effed up weed whacker, his words. But there he was, punching his mate's arm, grinning like hell, and bobbing his head, though struggling to maintain the beat. At the centre of this collection is a converted apartment building called the Repertory Apartments. And most of the characters, or all of the characters, have some connection back to this building, largely in the modern day, but I really wanted to treat this building as a character in its own right and show a history that's particular to that building. And that, you know, it's a building that began life as a repertory theatre, later becomes a radio factory, and later on this apartment building. The collection was first written as part of my Masters in Creative Writing project at the International Institute of Modern Letters at Te Heringa Waka University. And so there was a version of the manuscript at that point. Over time, I took some stories out and put some others back in. But it was a very gradual process. I mean, I had this manuscript that wasn't quite working, or not as well as I'd hoped it to. And I just, in the meantime, kept chipping away at other stories as ideas came to me and would just test each one out for a potential fit as part of this wider collection. A number of stories got published independently and didn't quite make it into the collection. Others obviously have. And it was always really interesting to kind of see how they could work in with what the existing material was and how they might extend that as well. So what kind of new angle on the ideas of home might they bring? One of the large themes, I think, in the collection is around sexuality and the history of gay life in New Zealand. So some stories that I'd be working on would sort of fit that dimension. And so it was a really interesting process just over time, kind of seeing how this collection might be shaped.
I kind of have to start with your story, The Ether of 1939, because it's about radios, which I love, and also because it gives reference to the title of the collection, the Home Theatre Console. And you've got a few newspaper ads throughout the collection. Was this clipping from the Dominion of the 14th of August 1939 from Capital Radios, this beautiful looking ad, actually the starting point for the story?
Good question. It wasn't the genesis of the story, but I did have fun researching the sort of style and convention of newspaper reportage and advertising of the time and trying to sort of mimic that as closely as I could in terms of the language, but also the presentation. The genesis for that story was there's a strong time travel element through the collection. It's present in a couple of stories, including this one. And what I wanted to do was to tell a form of ghost story, actually, that had a time travel gone wrong as a sort of basis. And that was the starting point for where that story began.
Many of your short stories do what short stories do so well. They make the reader very uneasy. And down the back of my neck now, I'm feeling creepy crawlies when I'm thinking about They Always Come for the Sweet Things, the story about a young fella, his mum, and a hell of a lot of ants. Can you talk us through that story a little bit and where the idea came from?
Sure. The genesis for that story was actually from my own childhood. We used to get a few ants coming into the home. And, you know, occasionally we'd set bait, or mum would call an exterminator in, and you'd come home to find these masses of ants kind of dripping in long strings out of the wallpaper, out of the seams of the ceiling, and so forth. And it was always had this sort of slightly gothic kind of experience. And so that was kind of the starting point for that story, was that very strong image, which actually kicks off that story. But for me, that story, the thrust of it is about the types of sort of practical and emotional labor that go into making a home. And so the story itself is about a single mum and her son in a period of time relatively soon after a separation, and the ways that she's trying to sort of maintain this home and keep this space for her son, whilst also trying to navigate, some potential new relationships. And it's all seen through the point of view of this small child who's about 5 or 6 years old.
I do want to talk about a spare room, because that offers us two perspectives of something we hear about. You know, you've got somebody in need trying to make a change and coming against bureaucracy or a civil servant who doesn't give a damn. You know, it's something that we hear about. But, I mean, Melita's story and then Ruth's story, so interesting to hear both sides of this conversation.
I mean, that story started out with an interest in the way that certain situations, particularly certain formal situations, in this case, a person looking to speak with a council housing advisor about getting access to council housing potentially, the way that those sort of formal situations require us to speak about ourselves in particular ways, and to deploy particular strategies in how we present ourselves, whilst nonetheless, you know, feeling the reality of what we're speaking about very deeply, and having this this much deeper set of memories that we're kind of drawing on as we try and make a case for something that we need. And so she's very fatigued by this process, and the council housing advisor is very fatigued too. When you go to her point of view for the second half of the story, you sort of see the way that the problems around the quality of rental accommodation, the housing crisis and so forth, are kind of weighing on her as a bureaucrat too, in terms of the struggles that she has to meet people's needs and the kind of particular exhaustion of that, as well as failing to kind of quite understand what the particular needs of Melati are. Yeah, and I sort of hoped that between the two perspectives, this kind of greater understanding of the situation comes to light. You know, one person's got a problem, one person's trying to solve the problem, but both being unsuccessful in that way because of some larger conditions.
The difficult art of bargaining was another story that I kept coming back to. And as always, you know, with a great short story, it starts somewhere and you take us in an unexpected direction. But here we meet an older couple who are downsizing, and gradually we find out the reasons for it. But, you know, the husband constantly saying, "Liv, darling," when his wife makes comments to strangers about their situation. It's a remarkable kind of rapport. How did these two come to mind?
They're in a slightly antagonistic relationship with each other. They're both exasperated, I think, at this point in their marriage and in their circumstance. So, like you say, they're downsizing. They've lost a fair bit of money through an insurance or an investment scam, rather. And so they're looking to find some new accommodation that sort of is a better fit with their means. And they're trying to sort of navigate that sort of loss of financial security and that kind of loss of self-regard, I guess, that they sort of previously had. So it's written as a comedy, and there's a bit of sniping that goes on between them. And I think the origin of it was a writing exercise, actually, where someone has to go and buy a piece of furniture. And it was Liv's voice that came to me in undertaking that task. And so, you know, the story is about this couple looking to buy a secondhand couch because they've had to sell off their other furnishings to help repay debts and so forth. So that was the starting point for that story. And I do really like Liv's voice. She's a really interesting character to me, actually. Part of the reason I wrote it as a comedy was I was looking to sort of follow that kind of traditional structure of a comedy where you have a situation that gets disrupted and then has to be restored in some way at the end. You know, if you look at Shakespeare, you'll find that structure, and usually it's crowned by a marriage at the end or something like that. In this case, it's a couple who have lost some social standing, have lost some money, and they're having to find a way to restore some balance in their life. And part of that is figuring out actually what they still what they still have after it all, and what they still have to give to others, and how they can actually kind of find a new fit within a new community. Yeah, so I had a lot of fun writing that story, actually.
It's small, but it's called Being Neighbourly, and you say in the acknowledgements at the back that these are found comments, starting with pick up your dog poop and 16 other top posts from Neighbourly.
Yes.
So again, that's very different to your other work, but I'm just, you know, curious about, are you the magpie that we assume authors to be?
Oh, I am somewhat of a magpie. I think every author has a part of their mind keenly observing what's happening around them at pretty much all times. Certainly with this collection, I was really interested in exploring a range of genres and forms. And with that story being Neighbourly, I was interested in this idea of ephemera and the kinds of stories that exist in various forms and various media around us, and kind of the different ways we might try and make sense of that and draw stories out of that ephemera, whether or not it has any relationship to reality.
Home Theatre by Anthony Lapwood is published by Te Herenga Waka University Press.